The recordings have started.
Great. Thank you, Frank. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to the GMSO Internet Engineering Task Force meeting on the 4th of May at 1700 UTC. On the call today, we do have Paul Waters, Warren Kamari, James Bladel. We have apologies from David Cake. And from ICANN staff, we have Glendy Sanjiri, Marika Konings, and myself, Michelle DeSmiter. I'd like to remind you all to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you. Over to you, James.
Thank you, Michelle and Glenn, and thank you, Warren and Paul, for joining. Paul, I don't know if we've ever met. I know Warren and I used to run in some of the same circles on a couple of different groups, but it's been a few years, I think, since we last were in the last meeting. I think might have been when we were creating the trademark clearinghouse all those years ago.
Oh, yeah, and RISG, that as well, I think you were involved in, wasn't you?
Yes. Yes, I was. We were on the board together. So this is a blast from the past, but we both kind of moved in some divergent directions, I guess, a little bit since then, but it's good to reconnect. And I appreciate you setting up the time to chat, and I think this can be fairly informal, more of a brainstorming session or just like an introductory conversation. Perhaps leading to more substantive talks between the GMSO and the IETF. The purpose or the impetus for the call is that, you know, I'm sure you guys are aware that there were some discussions about a year ago this time regarding, for example, the string for .onion. And how that the process that resulted in that string being essentially reserved as part of a and I'm gonna you know disclose some of my ignorance by some of the statements and misusing some of your terminology, so forgive me in advance. But the protocol definition essentially resulted in a string that became, you know, was essentially taken out of circulation. Not that anyone was necessarily lining up to apply for that particular string, but I think it was more raising eyebrows about the potential for future precedent for future cases. And so I think that kind of got us to thinking about the different activities that could be underway within the IETF, in the course of its, I think, very important and critical work in developing protocols that could spill over or have a ancillary effect in the policy work that is being done primarily, you know, I'd say ICANN, but I think primarily we're talking about the GMSO in particular. And not that that's, you know, I'm not trying to put any positive or negative judgment on that, just saying that it's something that is perhaps new and had not been fully anticipated or explored, and maybe calls for closer communication and coordination and visibility between the two groups to ensure that, you know, they're not that there aren't work streams in each area that are somehow on a collision course. That was just kind of what prompted us, I think, about a year ago to say, hey, maybe we should, you know, sit down with IETF folks next time we're all in the same city and, you know, just kind of have a conversation about what we can do to get more closely synchronized. And I think in the interim, there have been a couple of other incidents that got some attention. But I think generally it's just this idea of, you know, can we work more closely together? Can we, how can we communicate and liaise more effectively, and I'm certainly, although I'm probably not aware of it, I'm certainly open to the possibility that we're doing things that might box out or make presumptions on the outcome of IETF work that we're probably blissfully ignorant and unaware of. So that was just kind of the reasoning for wanting to get together and at least kick off a discussion between the IETF leadership and folks over in the GMSO. And I'll just kind of stop babbling now and see what you guys what you guys think.
Okay. Great. So I guess I will jump in. Let me just put my hand down in Adobe Connect. So, Paul, voters, and myself are the IAB-appointed reps to the technical liaison or technical expert group. So the IAB is, I'm not sure if you're sort of at all familiar with how the IETF works. The IAB is the Internet Architecture Board, and it sort of provides oversight for the IETF functions. And, you know, appoints liaisons, stuff like that. So as I said, Paul and I are the TLG representatives. Presumably, you also know Yone, who is the IETF liaison to the ICANN board. Yone Sonnine, or I can never pronounce his name, and it's always embarrassing. So if you've never participated in the IETF, it's sometimes surprising to sort of people in the ICANN world. It's a very open organization. We don't really have members or constituencies or anything like that. The work is broken up into working groups, which is sort of largely a bunch of people who decide that there's some work that needs to be done. And most of the work actually happens on mailing lists. All discussions, et cetera, almost all discussions are open. The ones which are not are the NOMCOM deliberations, and I guess also some contracting about, financial stuff about the next meeting, where the hotel is going to be, that sort of stuff. Other than that, I believe everything is open, and it all happens on mailing lists. So if you would like to fill up your mailbox with an almost infinite amount of people talking about random bits, there are a large number of mailing lists that are possible to subscribe to. Off the top of my head, ones which I think might be interesting for people within the GNSO to follow is mainly the GNSOps Working Group mailing list. A huge amount of it is going to be sort of people arguing back and forth about sort of very minor details within the sort of DNS protocol primarily. But it is also the venue where the discussions are currently happening about special use names. And the special use names, which of course, because people like acronyms and different terminologies, has a bunch of different names associated with it. People call it special use names. It's also called RFC 6761. It's also called, oh my God, not that topic again. But it's the topic where, or sort of the sort of overarching set of things where the .onion discussions happened. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure how familiar, if at all, you are with the RFC 6761 special use names, etc. thing. I can give you, I guess, a very high-level summary if you would like. I'm trying to think what else would be useful. I think that Paul Voters knows something about the RDAP stuff, which is probably also something which is of interest to GNSO folk, although I don't think either Paul or I really have been following that work. But I think that a lot of people believe that it would be really useful if there was more discussion and back and forth with ICANN and GNSO in particular about, how the IETF and ICANN can work together. Oh, I'm not sure if you have spoken at all to Suzanne Wolf. As I said, the Onion stuff happened as part of the special use names discussion, or RFC 6761, and it happened mainly in the DNSOP working group, and Suzanne is chair of the DNSOP working group. there was also some discussion on that topic in ESSAC as well. So I'm not sure, as I said, if you'd like me to give a quick summary of what happened with Onion, or if you would rather discuss, you know, how we could possibly work together better, which I think is largely going to be us suggesting, you know, come join this huge pile of mailing lists and be horrified by.
I was just going to follow up very quickly, if you don't mind, Mrs. James. And I think the third issue, because you mentioned RDS and special use names, I think there was a third issue, which is maybe just getting started, about DNS operators having access to registry systems.
Sort of delegation of authority type stuff for DNSSEC and things like that, so that DNS operators can update DS records, that sort of stuff. Is that what you're meaning?
Yes. Well, really, it's just generally under the category of creating new kinds of or allowing broader access to registry systems or DNS records beyond just registrars.
Okay. Fair enough. And I think Paul Voters had something he wanted to say.
Paul,
go ahead.
So I just wanted to instead of giving a lot of history about what happened with Onion and how RFC 6761 came into being, I think it might be more useful to just give a summary of where we are right now. And if I understood things correctly, the IETF is trying really hard not to get into this name business and to close this sort of loophole of reserving special names. And so the IETF is really trying to move away from this and saying, like, okay, we've closed this registry. We're not going to have any more new exceptions. We don't want to be in this business. This has to go elsewhere. And we should only focus on those names that would actually cause technical problems. So there are some questionable names like .mail and other things where the IETF thinks that there's technical reasons that those names are not safe. So that's a somewhat different discussion. But as for, you know, someone arriving at IETF and saying, I have this special project and we're using this special name and we want an exception according to this 6761 rules, that door has been really closed down now, currently temporary, while we, you know, figure out a way to put 10 locks on it. So I think that's at the special name issue. So we hope you will take on everything and we will not be involved as the IETF.
So, yeah, actually, if I can carry on from that. So sort of one of the interesting ways the IETF works is it's sort of this rough consensus idea. Paul sort of provided the summary of where we are at the moment. But, you know, this is very much a rough consensus organization, and there is still a lot of discussion happening. So there's currently there was a design team formed to discuss sort of the whole special use names problem space. And I don't think there's actually really consensus at the moment on what should happen and how and where and who. But it is still a topic which is getting a lot of discussion. At the last meeting, which was in Buenos Aires, probably around a month ago, there was half of one of the DNS op sessions was dedicated to, you know, discussing special use names. There are currently at least two drafts which are sort of trying to at least describe the problem space. And then, you know, once we have the problem space more fully described, then it turns into now that we've more understand the problems with this, you know, what is the correct solution to move on to from here? So .onion was reserved under this RFC 6761 special use names process. But there was a general view that the process was very difficult to work and was tricky to predict ahead of time what the outcome would be. There was a lot of discussion that sort of turned into policy discussion and something similar to that. And so it was generally felt that that discussion had not gone very well and that we needed to sort of evaluate our process for this and then discuss what, you know, how to make this work better. So there were a bunch of other strings which people had proposed reserving under this process. And the IESG, which is sort of the area directors, the sort of more the people sort of above the working group chairs, if I can word it that way, decided that, you know, these other reservations should be put on hold while we discuss the larger problem. So it is still being discussed and it is still open. And as I say, Suzanne is deeply involved in all of that. ESSAC also, you know, full disclosure, I'm also an ESSAC chappie. ESSAC recently published SAC 78, that was in February of this year, which is the advisory on the use of the shared global domain namespace, which sort of largely just provides, you know, the incredibly high-level summary, is it lets the ICANN community know that there is discussions happening at other venues on this, and that, you know, ESSAC will be discussing this further, et cetera. There was also an official liaison sent from the IETF to the ICANN board probably a year or two ago, just informing the ICANN board that the IETF is looking at this. Sorry, I'm actually trying to actually find the liaison quickly. September 2014, I believe it was, just letting the or reminding the ICANN board that there is a process for the IETF to make these special use names reservations. And actually, I could probably, if folk haven't seen that, I will post that into the chat in case that's helpful. It's a very short liaison statement.
Okay.
And, oh yeah, also Lyman Chapin, who I'm assuming everyone knows, also had a draft a while back which included a set of strings which possibly could or should be reserved under this. And I believe that that document listed home and corp and mail. Because, you know, that is largely where this all started, or at least not where this all started. That was one of the sets of the things which took us down this rabbit hole.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess what I wanted to mainly stress from what Paul said is that this is still a discussion which is ongoing, and, you know, we can't really yet say what the IETF position is because there isn't currently one other than, wow, we need to look at this some more.
So, James speaking for the transcript. Thank you both for providing the additional context and background. I admit that I had not been current on the issue, the special special use names, and particularly .onion. I admit that I am encouraged to see that, you know, that you recognize the potential opening the floodgate for folks coming to the IETF with strings that they believe, for one reason or another, need to be reserved. And I think that's certainly something I think we all want to divert back to the appropriate channels within ICANN, you know, as opposed to having folks try to bypass you know, those processes and procedures. So I like the, I think it was Paul's statement about locking the door with, you know, and then finding 10 other padlocks to lock it. So I think that's encouraging. So the question is, but, you know, I mean, aside from that issue and the other two issues we just kind of raised as examples, it sounds like that there's the potential that these topics can pop up from time to time in the future where there is either a duplication or even just a high degree of similarity between the work that's occurring within the GNSO and the IETF. And I'm just trying to think of what's the best way the optimal route to flag those and say, you know, we really should be making the IETF aware of what we're doing, or, you know, we should be maybe ping our friends over the GNSO. And maybe it's simply leveraging the fact that we have some overlapping membership, that we have people who participate in, you know, whether it's GNSO policy development or SBAC or IETF work, or whether we want to set something up that's maybe a little more formal, to where we would actually have a, you know, even a quarterly quarterly update or a conversation, or even just what we're doing right now, you know, where we would say, let's get the right four people on an informal telephone call and just talk about what we're working on. Talk about, you know, the potential collision or overlap between some of the different work streams. I'm open to any and all ideas. I think the key thing here is to make sure that we are working together with some visibility and some insight into each other's activities.
Yeah, so I suspect that one of sorry, this is Warren again for the transcript. I suspect that one of the sets of problems we're going to have is that there are a huge number of things happening in the IETF and also a huge number of things happening in the ICANN space, and GNSO in particular. And simply knowing which things are likely to be of interest to each other is going to be one of the tricky things. As you said, there are a large number of people who have overlap in their sort of sets of interests. But that doesn't necessarily always solve the problem because, you know, Paul Voters and I have a very narrowly focused set of things we're interested in. Other people, you know, also have the sets of things they're following and care about. And a lot of other stuff happens which we might not necessarily notice.
Paul here. Well, we could at least meet up at the during ICANN, like we tried to do last time, but actually make that, like, try to schedule like a one-hour slot where we just all get together in the same room.
Yeah, I think that would be very useful, especially if we can keep it very informal.
Right.
You know, there, as I say, we have the IETF liaison, and embarrassingly enough, I kept meaning to, you know, mention that we should invite him to this call, but somehow never quite got organized enough for that. So at the end of this, I want to just make sure to let him know that, you know, we're doing that. But there's a lot of discussion which I don't think raises to the level of liaison-type requirements. A large number of the people who seem to participate in both IETF and ICANN are also on the SBAC or are also involved in the DNSSEC workshop, the Tech Day stuff. So I'm not sure if anybody from GNSO shows up at the Tech Day discussions. That might be a useful thing to happen if you have time or somebody who's interested or willing to do that. Trying to schedule a meeting at ICANN's would, I think, be useful. And also, if the GNSO can try and convince some of its members to, you know, follow some of the IETF mailing lists, I think that would also be interesting and useful. Not necessarily to follow them in depth, but, you know, just to follow along enough to say things like, oh, wow, that sounds interesting. We should probably get some more info or briefing on that. Do you know if Jordan Buchanan is part of the GNSO? or, you know,
involved? He participates in the registry stakeholder group, but not necessarily at the council.
Sure.
Council.
Yeah, and sorry, when I say GNSIP, I meant, you know, people in, not necessarily, well, probably most likely not at the council level, sort of other sets of people who could just be like, hey, follow this, might want to be fed back.
Yes.
I suspect that a lot of the IETF stuff would be incredibly boring and tedious to most of the GNSO council people. As in, you'd want to rip your eyes out.
You should see some of our stuff, but yes. You know, another thought, and just I think we're all kind of coming into this same conclusion here, which is that, you know, we have sufficient interconnectivity of our different memberships. Maybe we should focus on that rather than setting up a formal channel, either the liaisons or whatever. Or maybe we can leverage the liaisons that are already in place. If we had, if Yari is the IETF liaison to the board, then maybe he could say he could be the liaison to the board and to the GNSO or something like that, since we're the ones that are most likely to bump up against work that's going on in the IETF. Then another thought would be, okay, so that gives us the visibility to things, you know, that are happening. What if, for example, what if we use that visibility and we determine that something is occurring in the IETF that is on a collision course or even contradicts something that is going on within GNSO? And so the example I had was, what if the IETF, for whatever reason, is essentially, you know, doing work that would preclude the introduction of any new TLDs, for example, something extreme, whereas the GNSO is working on the subsequent rounds process to open up a new round of applications for next round of GTLDs. And it seems like, okay, where would we go if we felt like we were, you know, we had two trains on the same track traveling in opposite directions, and how would we, what would be the best way to flag those and address them?
This is where stuff gets tricky. I suspect that what happens then is, and this is part of the reason why I think it would be very useful to have some people who participate in, you know, various GNSO activities also participate regularly in the IETF. A large amount of the discussions that happen in the IETF, as I say, are rough consensus ideas. And so having people who participate already and are known to the community and have sort of some creds or sort of relationships and are respected within the IETF community, is that those people would then be able to simply raise it on mailing lists and say, hey, guys, just so you know, this is going to negatively affect, you know, the ability to introduce new GTLDs, as an example. And then this would generate a large number of discussions on mailing lists. But one thing, there's, trying to figure out how to word this in a diplomatic way. There is some sets of views within some of the technical community that, I'm just going to stop talking there. So, you know, I suspect what the right thing to do would be is, you know, have some people simply raise the issue and say, has it occurred to anyone that this will cause issues with, you know, this new introduction of, you know, second round of new GTLDs? And then possibly at the same time, initiate something through the IETF liaison saying, you know, we want to make sure that the IETF as an organization is aware of the fact that this could put us on a collision course. I'm trying to think how I can word what I was trying to say earlier. There are a lot of, you know, people, but the way that the IETF reaches consensus is through a lot of discussion and a lot of sort of debate. This means that we have a lot of people with different sets of views, which span the gamut from, you know, the sane to the sometimes a little nutty. And there is not always the world's best sort of relationship between some sets of people and the IETF and ICANN. So, you know, keep in mind that whoever does participate, you know, if somebody from the ICANN community were to participate in the technical community, sort of within the IETF technical discussions, they would need to be technical, and they would need to come in with the sort of mindset that there is a slightly adversarial tone in most of our discussions, just because that's how we get to consensus. But in addition, because there is somewhat of a, you know, us versus them viewpoint among some set of people.
Well, it's a good thing that the folks in the GNSO are never adversarial.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, ICANN has done some things to, you know, help make this better. For example, David Conrad is well respected in the IETF community. And his organization has also recently hired a number of people who are well respected as well. You know, so that has at least helped raise ICANN's chops within the technical community.
Yeah.
You know, folk like Paul Hoffman and Elaine Durand and most of the people within.
Roy Aaron.
Sorry, who?
Sorry, I said Roy Irons.
Oh, yes, Roy Irons. Thank you. I could picture his face, but the only name I could come up with was Ray Bellis. And, yeah, Roy Irons, obviously. And, you know, so that's helping. And there are a number of people, as I say, in the DNSSEC workshop, CC Tech Day, the CCTLDs, and ESSAC, who participate fairly actively in both communities. So that's somewhat helping. I think also the recent set of, you know, IANA transition discussions has at least helped people understand that we need to work together better, you know, that we are part of the same shared ecosystem. But yeah, so I think, you know, having a few technical people within the GNSO constituency, you know, registry, registrar, somewhere, wherever, ALAC, whoever, participate, and, you know, just be slightly visible would be helpful, and they can provide info back. One of the trickier things, I think, is simply going to be getting information from the ICANN world into the IETF world, you know, having the IETF be aware of things that are happening in the ICANN space which might impact them. And I feel like I've been stepping on Paul every now and then. Sorry, did I didn't mean to cut you off earlier.
No, that's fine, Paul here. But let me just bring up one topic, because we briefly mentioned the RDAP. So let me just explain what I sort of heard and then relay that back to GNSO. What I heard was that the people who had RDAP implemented couldn't really test it very well, so they couldn't really test whether the IETF protocol actually works properly because they were not allowed to actually use their real registry data. So they could only set up, like, you know, fake copies of fake data and run tests against it, but they couldn't just sort of in parallel set up an RDAP server next to their WHOIS with actual real data so that people could actually, like, do real tests on it. And so maybe, and that was going to be my advice back to the GNSO, maybe there's a way where you can change that limitation where people are not allowed to use real data and loosen it up a little bit, saying, like, you know, if you define an authorization or if you define a whitelist of IP addresses, then you may offer this service temporarily for testing. And it seems that would actually build a little more confidence in the RDAP protocol at the IETF, who now feels that this protocol isn't well tested at all because no one can run it.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you, guys. You know, I think this is progress, and I acknowledge the, you know, if we want to say adversarial or just tension in some of the between and within some of the organizations. I can say that, you know, my concern actually springs from tensions within the GNSO that because there are so many controversial topics underway at any given moment, let's say with RDS, RDAP, or new GTLDs, or reserve strings, you know, the concern is that if a group feels that they're losing ground within the GNSO, we don't want them to feel that they can open another front in the IETF, and I'm sure that the technical community probably would not appreciate all of those issues arriving at their doorstep either if there was not any meritorious technical reason for pursuing those work, if they were just simply a new forum for the same for the same issues to be rehashed over and over again. So so I think that we're probably in the right place here as far as or we're getting to a better place here is just as far as communicating a little bit better. And I imagine we could go on quite a bit longer, but I think that maybe to bring this in for a landing, we could at least, you know, just understand that we probably should have more regular communications, either intersessionally or at ICANN meetings. And I think that that was a good suggestion since we're in the same building, if not the same town. The schedule for the upcoming policy forum, unfortunately, is very stripped down and very very abbreviated. So I don't think that we'll be able to I don't want to close the door entirely, but I think that it would be challenging to think that we were going to be able to meet in Helsinki, but it's possible. I know that GoDaddy has a number of folks as far as, you know, participating in IETF. I know we have a number of folks that participate in IETF, as well as Google and some others have, you know, people in multiple ponds. So maybe one part of this is identifying those organizations and make sure that they're communicating effectively internally so that they all know what's going on in the different groups. And but it sounds like we're not really there yet as far as establishing a formal exchange of liaisons. And even if that were the case, it would not necessarily be clear what those people or groups would be doing. So I don't know if I've captured everything so far, if that sounds like a good approach, at least initially, to you guys, or if there's something that you would want to add to that list.
Hi, this is Warren. I think that sounds great so far. I think that it might also be a good idea for you to have a similar discussion to what we just had with, potentially Yane, Suzanne Wolf, and somebody who I forgot to mention earlier, but is an obvious person as well, is Andrew Sullivan, who is the current IAB chair, and also Dine and, you know, participates in various things, because, it's people often seem to ask, you know, what is the IETF view on X? And until the IETF has actually published an RFC, it doesn't really have anything that could be considered a view. It's got a lot of different sets of opinions.
Right.
Even when there is an RFC, that doesn't actually mean we have a view. But, you know, it might be worth talking to them to get similar sets of discussions to make sure that what Paul and I have viewed consensus as matches what they do as well.
I think
we have discussions in wherever, maybe we can invite some of them as well to provide alternate sets of views.
I think that's good, and I think having more connections will probably get us beyond the idea that, you know, people change roles, they leave companies, they get involved in different projects, and in my case, they run into term limits and things like that. So yeah. you know, that pull them into their day job. So more connection, more redundant connections is probably a good way to further bring these two groups of people together. And you know, one other thought just before we close up here, and then maybe throw it to you guys and the last word here is that, you know, if we can get some more detail on the whatever we want to call it, RDAP test bed or test data for RDAP, I think I'm copying total ignorance on that one, Paul. But maybe I can help get something that would at least allow that work to proceed. And definitely don't want the GNSO to be a roadblock in that regard. So maybe we can follow up on that via email. That would be great, and I would help any way I can.
Okay, sure.
Great.
Okay, well, once again, I really thank you guys for setting aside some time. And Warren, I'm glad we're able to, you know, run in the same orbit again for at least briefly. I don't know. Are either of you planning on being at the ICANN meeting in Helsinki?
Yes, I will be there.
Yep, I will be there as well.
Fantastic.
Helsinki.
What's that?
I just saying, woohoo, well, Helsinki.
Oh,
get more
well, yeah, exactly. Well, we'll definitely try to make a point to get together. I don't know if it's, like you said, I don't think it will be anything formal, but if we can gather the right, you know, few people, maybe we can get together for a hallway conversation or lunch or drinks after work or something like that. It would be,
yep.
I think, very useful to just kind of keep this conversation moving forward.
Great. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, guys. Have a great afternoon or evening, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks. Great. Bye.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Today's meeting has been adjourned. Operator, please stop the recording and disconnect all remaining lines. Enjoy the remainder of your day.